Continue with looking at the fruit of the Spirit. I'm thankful that the fruit of the Spirit is all positive. There's no law against it, no situation that's going to get you in trouble. Nobody's going to cite you. Nobody's going to issue a citation or anything like that because you have the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. No. Instead, it's going to be the power of God that's going to be displayed in your life. Because of the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. Proverbs 25 and the last verse in that chapter. Just one little statement there that we're going to read together. Go ahead and stand and we'll look together at what the Word of God says here. Proverbs 25, let's read it out loud together. Verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Okay, so the rule over his own spirit, we know would be in the New Testament, temperance. And in the 21st century, it would be self-control. Self-control. Amen. You may be seated. The aspect of self-control, it sounds almost like we're stepping away from the influence of the Spirit into self. But understand what we mean when we're talking about control. You would have the ability to resist temptation, to say no to wrong. That's what we mean by temperance, the idea of walking with the Lord in obedience to His Word. And self-control then has a lot of, actually, as you look at the nine fruit of the Spirit, you see how they're linked together. You see how one builds upon the other, not in a linear sense, but in a sense of recognizing they help each other. They fit together. They make a more complete individual out of you in terms of your serving for serving God. So it's a beautiful thing to recognize what Paul was writing about here in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And we thank God for the last one that he mentions here, that it doesn't altogether fall on you. No, we don't want to put that out. But you are important in fulfilling what God wants to manifest in your life with a big old yes to the Lord and not a, I'll think about it. I'm not sure, you know, but a recognition of how beneficial this is for me and I want to do what God wants me to do. Self-control is an area that advertisers hit on a lot. Or the lack of self-control. Diets, for example. My goodness, there's all kinds of ads and opportunities for you to lose weight in the most painless and the least effort and overnight and all kinds of promises that are made there. And controlling spending and decreasing debt. Goodness, that's a huge area in America. Keeping a good job. Some people, I've heard just recently of someone who had great jobs, good jobs, couldn't get along with people. And he goes from job to job. Just ridiculous. Cleaning up things, organizing things. Self-control. In the spiritual realm, the need to break bad habits, to discipline ourselves for prayer, and making sure we're following through on that. Fasting. Goodness, Christians are familiar with fasting. And if you can skip several meals, if you can skip several days, that takes a lot of self-control. And it should transfer into other areas. And thank God that it can. Reading the Bible through every year, that's a good challenge. It's a good habit. There are bad habits and there are good habits. And we got to make sure we're following through on the right ones. Amen. And because self-control helps in all of those areas, or it can create a lot of problems. An old man was asked his occupation. He replied, "I'm a king." And with a smile, the person asked a second question, "What do you rule over?" And the old man said, "Myself." Some people can't say that. They have a hard time saying no to self. But the Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, declaring, "My departure is at hand," and thank God, if there's a departure, there has to be an arrival. And he knew where he was going to arrive. "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, hath for me. And not to me only," he said, "but to all them that love his appearing." Praise God. I'm thankful that we have that promise. But Paul would say, "I have fought. I have finished. I have kept." Praise God. He knew that his lifestyle included self-control. He wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 9 when he made reference to athletes. And in the Living Bible, verse 25 reads like this, 1 Corinthians 9, 25. This is the Living Bible. "To win the contest, you must deny yourselves many things that would keep you from doing your best." That's a big statement right there, isn't it? "An athlete gives to all this trouble, or goes to all this trouble, just to win a blue ribbon or a silver cup or a gold medal in our day. But we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears." Praise God. And so, self-control is not optional for a Christian. We're not talking about an alternative here that you might consider. Not talking about an option that you might think is, maybe I'll give it a try. No, it's a necessity. A Greek scholar said, "No man is truly free until he masters himself." We know the story of Samson. We're able to list his exploits. We're able to say he won great battles and great victories, but he was definitely a prime example of strength without self-control. That's the problem. Amen. And the problems overflow. Somebody kind of lightheartedly made the report about a woman who was on a diet. And so in her refrigerator, she put a picture of a very shapely woman because that's what she wanted to look like. So that when she opened the door of the refrigerator, she would see that picture and it would remind her, "That's my goal, that's what I'm trying to be." Someone asked her later, "How's it going?" She said, "I've done great. I've lost 5 pounds, but my husband has gained 10. So, self-control. Got to go both ways for each individual. Okay, so we're going to look at some aspects of self-control here and recognize, okay, this is what we've got to do. Admitting a problem is half the battle, whatever the problem might be, admitting it, you know, in terms of self, what I've got to change. So admitting the problem and accepting responsibility. James 1 and 14. James 1 and 14. The Phillips translation reads like this: "A man's temptation is due to the pull of his own inward desires, which can be enormously attractive. And that's the problem with temptation. One man said, I can resist anything but temptation. And that's, you know, that's where a lot of people find themselves. And we do find our desires attractive. But you've got to learn to say no. And that's self-control. We don't rationalize it. That's just the way I am. Everybody else is. You know, don't waste time fixing the blame. Fix the problem. That's a whole lot better. I need help with this problem. You know, that's a good admission. And making sure that you step forward into the answer and not get hung up on the past. Getting hung up on the past is a big situation. That's why where Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. I'm going to forget the fact that he murdered some Christian people. Forget the fact that he imprisoned them, that he compelled them to blaspheme, he tortured them. Forgetting that, I'm going to move forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. You got to do that. It's a huge misconception. Once a failure, always a failure. That is a huge misconception. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Amen. It is. Praise God. Where's that little baby? She settled down. Wake her up. Get her up. There she is. Oh, yeah, that's her opinion. Remember her holding on to the pews? Pulling herself up on the pew, first of all, and standing there looking around, and holding on to the pew and taking a few steps. Getting to the end there and looking around. Everybody coaxing her, everybody trying. Then she takes a few steps on her own and then down on her knees because that's more familiar, that's more safe. What if we could hear Lily talk? Now, she's walking. She wouldn't have said this. But what if her self-talk went something like this? I'm a failure. I'm going to face it. I've tried 3 times to walk, and every time I just fall on my knees. And it's feels a lot safer there anyway, so I'm not going to try anymore. Was that an amen? But because of persistence, here she goes, running around in the church, I'm sure running around at home, all of that stuff, because that's growth. That's what God put in her and in all of us. Don't say you're a failure. Amen. You move forward in the things of God and recognize that the Lord has a future for you. Praise God. That is powerful. Thomas Edison would tell his crew when, you know, they did thousands of experiments before they came up with that incandescent bulb. And it's amazing to list the inventions that are under Edison's name. He's quite a man. But he would say, don't call it a failure. Call it an education. Because now we know what doesn't work. And we can try something else and see if that's going to work. So don't get stuck in the past. You know, a lot of emphasis is on feelings. How I feel. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like studying. I don't feel like working. I don't feel like mowing the lawn. You know, and nothing gets done if feelings are going to be the authority. But put feelings aside, because what's funny is when you say, I feel like having another helping. I feel like, you know, more chips. Or I feel like more sleep, or I feel like another drink, or whatever it might be, those feelings take over. Instead of the feelings of, you know, what you should be doing and you don't. So feelings are, you know, don't give feelings authority. Recognize you can talk back to your feelings. You know, I feel like having another snack. I'm going to die if I don't have a snack. You talk to your feelings. No, I'm not going to die. In fact, I'm going to be better for skipping that snack or, you know, making a substitute, carrots or celery or some disgusting thing like that. Amen. Titus 2 and 12. Titus 2 and 12. Let's look at the King James Version of the grace of God. The grace of God is an incredible quality of God. We define it as unmerited favor. And that definition doesn't even come close to all that is included in the grace of God. But the grace of God teaches. Is that what it says? Teaches us. Look at that. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Denying them. Saying no. No way. And being able to follow through on that. And then choosing rather to live soberly, righteously, and godly right now. In this present world. Not, oh, if I was back in the Book of Acts church, it would be so wonderful, so great. No, now. Now. Amen. Here's how the NIV renders it. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Amen. You know, Romans 5, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. That's been so mishandled, misused, that no matter what you do, the grace of God's going to cover it. Thank God that's true. But the grace of God abounds to bring a change in your life, to help you to say no to what's going to damage you, what's going to hurt you, what's going to mess up your relationships. Amen. To say no. Praise God. And so because of God's grace, we can believe we can change. I can change. Say that with me. I can change. Praise God. And the fruit of the Spirit is there to help you bring about those changes in a positive way. To change your thoughts, to change your directions. Amen. Because if you say, I can't, or you say, I can, you're both right. You're right in both instances. And I'm not talking about stupid things like, you know, jumping across a river and all of that stuff. I can, and so I'm going to try, and I jump 6 inches and drown. No, I'm not talking about crazy things. I'm talking about changing our lifestyle. Amen. And letting the transformation that God wants to make in our lives come through. Romans 12 and 2 is the powerful statement about transformation and the transformation that is based on your mind, the renewing of your mind. Amen. And thank God the Lord is into creation. And He creates in us a clean heart. He renews within us a right spirit. David prayed that prayer. He needed to pray that prayer. Did God ignore him? Oh, no. Oh, no. There were some changes that came in David's life. Amen. Cast me not away from your presence. Keep not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Beautiful prayer in Psalm 51. And thank God that prayer can be ours as well, and our minds be renewed. Thank the Lord. Look at Ephesians 4. 23 and 24. The renewal, again, that is important there. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The thinking and the believing that God can change you and help you to change. Amen. And not just be renewed in the spirit of your mind, but the action that's involved as well, and that you put on the new man. Because of the change. Amen. The change that God desires to do. A clear mind has a lot to do with self-control. All muddled up and confused and not knowing priorities and so on. That's why renewing of your mind is so important. And mind is mentioned three times in Peter's first letter, because he understands how important your mind is. Boy, don't you know his mind was messed up when he denied the Lord those three times, and he looked and he saw Jesus looking right back at him, and it immediately came to his mind, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And oh, my goodness, the devastation and the despair, the dismay, that all of that was just piled on. The devil would know that if he destroyed the Apostle Peter, he would destroy a lot of the work that was coming on. And so he must have piled it on for poor Peter those 3 days that the Lord was in the tomb. And that's why the angel singled him out. Go and tell his disciples and Peter he is risen. Praise God. Because the Lord would know how important that is. And Peter would have authority to be able to write and say, a clear mind's really important. Your mind is very important here for self-control. Amen. Because God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Here's a good one to read when you think the temptation's too strong. When you can't help yourself. This one really counts. Because God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. Amen. That's what counts. Okay, here it is in the Living Bible. The Living Bible says, remember this. The wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you. And no temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. For he has promised this and will do what he says. He will show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. Praise God. And the Lord does that. Praise God. Because God never puts more on you than he put in you to bear it. You've got it in you. Amen. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is so beautiful, so powerful, so positive in the things that God wants to do in your life. Amen. And so we focus on his positive promises of strength. Okay, let me ask you, what scripture do you rely on when you need to grab a hold of something that promises you strength and helps you when you're feeling like you're weak and you need to be able to stand? What verses of scripture to help you, Sister Megan? Okay. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Okay? Jeremiah 17, 7. Good. Brother Tom. All right. Psalm 121. My help cometh from him who made heaven and earth. Ooh, that's a lot of help. Amen. Sister Nichols.
I like Philippians 1 and 6. He that began good work.
Good work. and being confident in that. The confidence is your part. The good work is his part. It works together. Amen. Any others? These are good. The mic. His mind, there's mind, whose mind is stayed on thee. The devil has all kinds of distractions, doesn't he? The devil has all kinds of garbage that he wants to dump on you. You keep your mind stayed on the Lord, that renewed mind, praise God. And there's strength there, Paul. All right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Brother Steve. Okay. Amen. The knowledge of the Lord fill the earth. Praise God. The glory of the Lord. And just so much that's there. See, because you can't go anywhere that the Lord's not already there. You can't go anywhere where the Lord can't extend his hand to help. And he's always there. Okay, so I wrote down a few. You'd recognize them right away. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Praise God. Thank the Lord. In turn one chapter, Isaiah 41:10, where the Lord declares, I am. And he says, I will. When you get that kind of power working on your behalf, that old stinking devil can't win. He can't win. I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Praise God. Oh, yeah. In the Lord's power. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. Philippians 4:13. So we can go on and on about all kinds of good, positive things. Your mind can only think of one thing at a time. It seems like, as a powerful computer, it can do both, but no, it can only do one. So train it to focus on Scripture, focus on what's good. Don't nag. Has anyone ever been changed by nagging? Well, don't nag yourself then, because it doesn't work. Don't put yourself down. Don't call yourself a failure. You're talking about God's kid. He doesn't like his kids to be talked about like that. Stop nagging. Stop condemning. Stop criticizing. Stop putting yourself down. Amen. And rejoice in the promises that he's provided. All right, make yourself accountable. Be accountable to someone. And I'll give you some guidelines along that line. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Ecclesiastes 4:12. 1, 2, and 3. And that threefold cord. Very, very strong. And if we had a thread and be able to bring Brother Jaime up here and flex his muscles and all of that, and we wrap thread around his wrists 3 times, oh man, he'd just flex and pop that thread like nothing. You wrap that thread 300 times around Jaime's wrist, you got him. You can put red marker on his nose, and black under his eyes. You can do all kinds of things to him because he can't break that thread. That's wrapped around his wrist 300 times. That's the power of a habit. A habit. And the Lord helps us to bring changes in our lives. Ecclesiastes 4:12. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Here's the Living Bible rendering of that. One standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So you and a friend, or two, you and a friend and the Lord are three that are not going to be defeated. Amen. Now, those of you who've been in basic training, you've been in the military, maybe a battle buddy. Did you have battle buddies when you were in training? I know Mike has talked about a battle buddy that he had in training. So what was that battle buddy for? What did he do? So you checked on each other?
Yeah,
constantly. Yeah, and so there was some accountability there.
Yeah, it was your fault. They were out.
So you both got in trouble.
And no, your fault.
Really? Oh. Well, that's taking accountability a little too far. Yeah. Well, okay. So if we're talking about accountability, then there really is a responsibility there, isn't there? And there really is a need to step up. So there isn't the problem. There isn't the difficulty. Galatians 6 and 2. Galatians 6 and 2. Here's how the Living Bible renders it. Share each other's troubles and problems, and so obey our Lord's command. So we're sharing. Troubles and problems are not fun. Troubles and problems are not what you jump up and down about with glee and hope, say, I'm going to go tackle this today. Because an interpersonal situation is much more complicated, and you got to be troubled. So, here's some guidelines for a buddy relationship. Someone of the same gender, that's a must, because closeness develops, and you don't want to be close to someone of the opposite sex, especially if you're married. And so, someone of the same gender, a man with a man, a woman with a woman. You don't need to open the door to other temptations. All right? Someone dependable and faithful. Someone who is going to be willing to help you and doesn't mind a phone call, you know, at strange hours. Someone who can keep confidences, because some of the information you'll share is confidential. You don't want that on YouTube or Instagram or any of the other media outlets that are so prevalent today. And someone who will check on you. Did your battle buddy look you up before breakfast and make sure everything was good? Okay. So that part of it really, really is important. Amen. That accountability is a big step, because you need to be able to open your life to being checked on. You know, I don't want anybody checking up on me. You know, well, that's got to go away if you want to be accountable. And we're talking about developing self-control. We're talking about being able to overcome and saying no to temptation. Amen. And so we're gonna continue on that way. Avoid temptation. So simple, but yet people find themselves in tempting situations. Whatever their temptation is, whatever their desire is, the devil's gonna make sure that you have opportunity in temptation. For the mic. That's a very important point. You're both struggling with the same temptation. Don't get that for your buddy relationship. Get somebody who is stronger, somebody who has overcome in that area. Very good point. Because you just commiserate with each other. You give each other permission to give in to temptation. That's not what we're after. We're after some changes. Amen. And avoid the things that tempt you. Okay? If you don't want to get stung, stay away from the bees. Brother Mike and I are working on fish last couple of days, and I got stung twice. And I can still feel that. How come someone doesn't get the venom out of a yellow jacket and make it into a personal defense spray or something? Man, it hurts. It's still hurting. There must be a yellow jacket nest around our place somewhere that we haven't found. Because they are, man, we were working on that fish and they were everywhere. I got stung last night and got stung today. Believe me, it doesn't feel good. So stay away from what stings you in temptation. Simple stuff, isn't it? Simple stuff, but we struggle with it. And advice for young people, you know, be prepared in advance to control yourself and your desires. Be ready. Just know. Because you're either going to be controlled by your plans or you're going to be controlled by your glands, and they're strong. Oh, you got to be ready. No. Such a simple thing. But don't have chips or candy right there ready for you if you're trying to diet. Don't have a credit card if you spend impulsively. Some people spend to feel better. No, I'm going to go buy this. I'm going to go buy that. Don't need it. It's just kind of an extra, but spending makes them feel better. That's impulsive. Don't have a credit card if that's your problem, because you're really going to end up in debt. You know, and it's really sad. You know, we've got some young people here who are training and at Bible school and wanting to do a work for God, looking for the will of God in their lives, as well as other things in their lives that they're looking for. But here's the thing. You got to make sure that you stay out of debt. Otherwise, the Lord tells you to do something and you're so far in debt you couldn't answer the call of God if you wanted to, because you're thousands of dollars in debt. That's crazy. So be careful. Be careful. Amen. Plan to live your life to avoid things that weaken your self-control. Okay, let's see here. I can squeeze this in, I think. Ephesians 4:27. Ephesians 4:27, a very, very simple statement of direction. And the Good News translation says, don't give the devil a chance. Don't give him a chance. Shut it down. Again, those beautiful scriptures that were shared earlier, the nice choruses that we sang. Again, you're shutting down your mind in terms of the temptations, and you're moving into a realm of worship. Avoid or get rid of some of the things that the devil uses. Don't give him a place. Amen. Nothing. And avoid people in situations that lead to temptation. 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be fooled. You know, there's a lot of be not deceived, isn't there? A lot of be not deceived. We got to make sure we're not letting ourselves get the wool pulled over our eyes or whatever phrase you want to use about deception. Don't be fooled. Bad companions ruin good character. That's the Good News translation. So, things that you need to avoid. People and situations, books and magazines, media, and the internet. Now, I wish I didn't have to. I wish I didn't have to make this statement. I wish that I didn't have to touch on it at all. But we have a problem. And we're not even in Houston or on the moon. We have a problem. The internet is a huge problem. And at young and old, it doesn't matter. There's no age restriction. The internet can be a huge problem. And being able to control it, it's becoming epidemic, folks. It is. Now, I made copies, and I'd like for every single person and every household, Brother Thomas, to get a copy here. If you're the head of a household, raise your hand so that he can be sure and get one for you, and then every single person get one as well. And there's 20 copies there, brother. And I have three others before I figured out how to make two-sided copies. We've got three others that are two pieces of paper. So go ahead and pass those out, and then if you need more, I've got head of household and every single one. Now, this article, The Sin of Pornography, sounds drastic. It sounds not me, not here, but unfortunately, it's more prevalent than we might think. And if you've had the blocks on your, they're not blocks, what are they anyway, programs on your computer that would stop access to certain sites, you know, different sites and so on, that's good. But there are people who are sharp enough in the computer realm to get around those. Get around them quick. Just we're in a computer age, and things can move quickly. Do you need more? I've got three more. So, this article addresses the aspect of the sin of pornography, and it talks about David and him up on the rooftop looking in somebody's window, apparently. You know, the situation could have changed so quickly if he just turned away. I think I'll go have a snack. That problem's worse than my weight problem, so I'm going to go distract myself. But he didn't. And we cited the prayer from Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. And thank God he prayed that instead of just being headstrong and going ahead with what he determined to do. So the need to be able to handle this aspect or deal with this aspect is so important. Brother Bradbury told me about one family who turned in their phones and devices at night. The dad collected them. All the devices, all the phones, right here on the table. You'll get them in the morning, but you're not going to have them at night to access areas that you shouldn't. You know, I can't remember where I saw it, but there was somebody that was offering $1,000 to go to a flip phone, to change back to a flip phone. Obviously, it was a company that was selling flip phones. And not everybody was getting the $1,000. You had your name was going to be drawn, you know. But I thought, maybe that's a good idea. Maybe flip phones need to be in the hands of young people instead. I don't mean to single out young people, but I want to, you know, make it real here because we got to deal with this. We've got to. Or it's going to mess you up. It's going to mess your future relationship up, your marriage, and it's going to mess up a whole bunch of things. It may seem innocent right now. You know, you hear, oh, it doesn't hurt anybody. Yes, it will. Your mind is so amazing. Your brain is so incredible that it will never erase an image. You cannot unsee something you've seen. You cannot. God can erase memories, thank God. God can heal broken hearts. But why put yourself in a situation that is going to haunt you later? Doesn't make sense. So there's a bunch of sites on there that you can go to for blocks and I don't even know what you call them, programs and so on for helping you to make sure your device is under control. There's not in, it's not mentioned in there. It's in the text. You got to read along and it'll say, this will work, that will work, and so on. If not, maybe I copied the wrong article. We'll take a look at it, okay? Let's go on here. I like Brother Bradbury's family. I can't remember who he said it was, but they collect their devices. They all put them on the table and say, okay, we don't need these until tomorrow morning. You don't need them in your bedroom and be looking on those things. Amen. Okay, Galatians 5:16. Okay, if I finish this, I've got another 10 minutes or so. Galatians 5:16. Walking in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Those are two very important. Here's the Amplified version of Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek Him, and be responsive to His guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts. So, you will respond. That's the message that comes out here. You will respond. And you choose to respond to the Spirit's guidance or to your sinful nature. And that's what we've got to make sure we're on top of here. Develop a high regard for God and for His Word. It means something to you. It's important to you. And you want to obey it. Amen. And Spirit-filled people know that they have desires as well. You just have to say no and determine to satisfy them. I remember a preacher saying, I smoke all I want to. I drink all I want to. I do all the junk that I want to. I just don't want to. Amen. Now, the temptations were there, The desire was there, but he said, no, no, no. Amen. And don't get the sequence mixed up here. You know, you're not going to get your act together, and then come to God and let his Spirit control you. No, the Spirit of God comes to control you. You don't say, well, I need to go to the doctor, but I'm going to get well first. Then I'll go see the doctor. Makes as much sense of saying, I'm going to get control of this problem, then I'm going to call on God, then I'm going to come to the Lord, then I'm going to be a believer. No. The church is a hospital for sinners. Sometimes it almost looks like a hotel for saints, but it's a hospital for sinners. We need some sinners around here. Amen. Amen. Remember, the pleasures of sin are for how long?
A season.
Amen. Okay, Philippians 2 and 13. Philippians 2 and 13, I love the quote there, to will and to do. Both the willpower and the power to act. Here's how the Amplified reads. It is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is, strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. That really amplified it, didn't it? To will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, there's pleasure in the things that tempt you. There's pleasure in overeating. There's pleasure in excessive spending. There's pleasure in alcohol and drugs and tobacco, illicit sex, pornography. There's pleasure in all of those things. The scripture acknowledges that. But it's temporary, and it's damaging. A whole lot better to make the choice that is going to bring you closer to the Lord. Okay, stand with me now. I'm going to tell you the secret now. Here's the secret. The secret to self-control. It's just real simple. Let the Lord control. Now, that's not trite. That's not superficial. That's not just blowing it off. No, you really, really let the Lord control you. And you let him put the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Praise God. There will be so much positive that's there. There will be so much power that's there that you'll be able to stomp on that devil. You'll be able to refuse and resist temptation. You'll be able to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's come and pray here for a few minutes. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Let's just talk to the Lord here for a little while. Mulalangain de sukatin shaparomoko. Ushalaramako ten de raba. Undemelanaramokomo. Kashalaramokosi in ten de la romokoma. Halamahasalaramakatin.